always nervous when I come into the pulpit because the job that I'm asked to do is one I cannot do without divine intervention and help. I'm worse nervous because the verse of scripture I have on my mind, it came to me about 45 minutes ago. I don't like that at all. I'm going to have to walk 100% by faith, and I'm going on record to tell you I cannot stand walking by faith. I hate it with a violent passion. I don't like it, but you have to do it. But I would that you would pray for me and yourself, and I'm very thankful in the meeting thus far. Very thankful for our beloved Brother Randy's message. Though he missed the class that Elder Walden taught us young preachers, never preach about water during the afternoon service. It makes a great point, but it also makes everybody very, very thirsty. And he threatened to drink my water. You can't get up here now. You can't have it. There, you can't have it now. I'm also nervous because I reached into my things to grab my reading glasses, and I grabbed the wrong pair of glasses, and I came today with my Where's Waldo glasses. I want things to work according to plan, and when they don't, so in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I know, yeah, right. What are you worried about, Dave? It's the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But there is one verse in the 15th chapter of Corinthians I've never studied, never tried to preach on, and it came to me 45 minutes ago. I'm going to begin in the 19th verse. I will read to you the 19th verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That is not the text. I wish it was. Would that God had impressed me on that text. I have studied and preached on that text. I love to preach on that text, because it tells us about the absolute agony life would be if it weren't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it tells us that there is nothing in this life that would ever give us comfort if it weren't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even church itself would be hollow if Christ had not risen from the dead. That statement is true. Whatever comes before it, the end result is true. We are of all men most miserable, because we would still be in our sins. Now, we are here to preach unto you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think that when the Bible said that, Paul spoke that, I believe, to the Corinthians. I believe in this very book of 1 Corinthians, he said that. I think implied when he said in Him crucified was also the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe that it is probably a very bad idea to separate any of those and to try to you don't want to end with Christ on the cross. You do not want to end with Christ in the tomb. Where you want to wind up is with an empty tomb. And you need to come and see where the Lord lay. I think in that, where He was, but not is. You need to go and see it. And what you're going to see is nothing. Amen. You're not going to see Christ. He is not here. He is risen. We are not miserable now, are we? We ought to be very comforted and the happiest people on earth. See, I can do a lot on that text. And I'm just getting started. No, this is the text that I have. It's the 20th verse. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I have never tried to speak on that. I may not do it this afternoon. May God help us all. It is speaking of something that as pertained to the law, a requirement that God gave to the Jews in the word first fruits. It is important that we understand what that word means. And there's a lot of information in the Old Testament about the first fruits, of which I will not go to. Why? I've never studied it. I don't trust my knowledge on it. Some of these other brethren will fill you in. Let me tell you what I do know about it, about the first fruits. And again, this is a very concise summary of what this is. When they began a harvest, whether it was a harvest of grain or of fruit, or even of flocks and herds, they would take the first of that harvest and they would dedicate that as a sacrifice to God. God demanded it and God expected it. And if that first fruits was accepted, then the entire harvest was blessed and likewise accepted. So you gave that to the Lord. Am I okay on that?
Yeah.
All right, okay. I know there's a lot more there, but it's a summary. This ought to be a desire of us still to this day. Because I read when Cain and Abel made an offering to the Lord, that Cain gave of the field, but Abel gave the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. So Abel gave a worthy sacrifice to the Lord. We are left with the feeling that Cain just gave maybe a leftover or what he didn't need, but it was not as good as Abel's. The Bible tells us that the Lord had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice. He could have respected Abel, but not the sacrifice. He respected both, because Abel gave of the firstlings, the first fruits of the flock. I do not think that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 is telling us that Jesus Christ was the first person ever to be resurrected, because we know that there were people resurrected from the dead before Jesus Christ. There were some in the Old Testament. There were some in the New Testament. The Lord himself, we read of, raised three people from the dead: Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus. We heard about Lazarus this weekend. He may have resurrected more that we do not read in the scriptures. It was given by Christ to John's disciples when they had a question of John. John was in prison. He sent the two of his men to ask Christ, "Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another?" The Lord gave them reasons why they should not look for another. And in that he's saying, "I am the one that you're looking for." All right? You don't need to look for anything else. I'm the one. One of the things that he said was the dead are raised alive. That's one of the things he said. He didn't say three people had been raised from the dead. That may have been the only three. May have been more. My favorite is the last one: the poor had the gospel preached to them. That is just as much a miracle as the dead being raised to life. You are seeing that. You have seen that. You've experienced that. What then does it mean that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept? Oh, by the way, them that slept, I think them that are dead. That's what I think it means. They're dead. They're in the grave. What does it mean? I'm going to give you the big reason first. Number one reason. He is the first person to ever been raised from the dead that never died again. That's Lazarus was raised, but he died again. Some people say that's why Jesus wept. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. They said, behold, how he loved them. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was a combination of things. I don't know, but he wept. I think he wept in sympathy and out of love for this family. May have been more, probably was. We heard the sermon, Lazarus, come forth. If he had said that in a cemetery and said, come forth, every grave, I think, would have opened. I like to think that. Quite a fancy of mine. Maybe everybody hadn't been born again, would have been born again too. I don't know. Never man spake like this man. There's power in his voice. There's life in his voice. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. He came forth, bound head to toe in grave clothes. How did he do it? It's the power of God. He never told any one of us to raise the dead. But he did tell us to loose them and let them go. Preach the gospel to them. Take the grave clothes off and set them at liberty in the truth of the gospel. That we can do by the grace of God. Only Jesus can raise the dead. Only Jesus can raise the physical dead and the spiritual dead. I cannot born you again. I may not be able to keep you awake this afternoon. I've got a loud voice. I may be able to wake you, may not. But the Lord has that power. And if you have tasted that he's gracious, that is a blessed evidence that you have life within you. You were dead, now you're alive. You have been born again, regenerated. The widow's son, they were taking him out to the graveyard. He came along them. Rose that boy to life. Jairus' daughter, they said, don't trouble the master. She's passed. He went in anyway. They laughed him to scorn. Little girl, arise. That's all it took. I don't even think he had to say anything. I don't know. But she heard. She was dead when she heard the sound of his voice. Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's ongoing right now. Right now. But they died again. My Lord, he died. He came in a mortal body, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But I believe, my friends, when he came, when he arose from that grave, there is no more need for him to suffer again. It was finished. It was complete. And he was raised again for our justification. And God, when he came out of that grave, issued a declaration to all the elect, justified. I'm satisfied. Nobody helped him. He is the first fruits because he's the only man, the only one that resurrected himself. That didn't get the amen that I was hoping.
Amen.
That's a forced amen, doesn't count. I believe it. He says, I have power to lay this life down. And I have what? Power to take it up again? I think that means he resurrected himself. All right? Who else is going to help you? Well, what about God the Father? He was God. He was the second of the Trinity. He has power over life and death. He rose from the grave himself. He didn't even roll away the stone. I think he went right up the glory. I don't want to get into some gray areas here, all right? I'm tiptoeing through the tigers. All right? Let me just get to the big good point where we all amen. I like this point. I love this point. Yay, those women were coming to that tomb, and they were saying, who will roll away the stone? Got good news for your sisters. It's already been rolled away. Amen. You know who rolled it away? It wasn't Jesus. The angel did it. Why did that angel roll away the stone? To help Jesus get out of the grave? No! No! When that angel rolled away that stone, he was already gone. He has already been resurrected. They rolled it away so they could go and see the place where the Lord lay. That they could see this tomb is empty. He is not here. He was dead. But he's become the first fruits of them that slept. Never man spake like this man. Never man died like this man. Never man was resurrected until this man like this. Hold that thought for a sec. He was the first fruits of them that slept because he was the only begotten son of his father. And he was the firstborn of many brethren. And that in him the fullness dwelled, and in him are found all his people, because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And as that scripture that my brother preached yesterday, and that was confirmed by Brother Isaacs, that we in Christ, we went to the grave. In Christ, we rose from the grave. And in Christ, we'll dwell in that paradise above. And the glorious news of it all, that he being the first fruits of them that slept, was accepted by God, and everyone, everything in that harvest is now likewise accepted by God. Because the first fruit was offered and accepted. Every fruit of the tree, every grain, every one of the flock, all accepted in the Beloved. They may not know it. They don't have to know it. It's not required for them to know it to get it. It sure is good to know it, though. And it's good to remember it. And it's good to walk in it. And it's good to acknowledge it. And to remember from whence it came. And that these meetings that we have like this, that we put him above all things because he is the first fruit. We're not. We never will be. We fell in trespasses and in sins. We have proved that over and over by continue to sin. He never sinned. He never broke a commandment. He never lied. He never had an evil thought. Everything he did was the will of his Father. His delight was to do the will of his Father, even though the will of his Father was him to suffer endless amounts of eternal torment for wretched, ungrateful, bankrupt sinners like us. Man, I'm shaking the pulpit now. Wow! I ought to shake the pulpit on that. When he rose from that grave, the earth did shake. And the rocks rent, and the pulpits were rattled. We ought to rattle them until he comes back. Because this, my friend, this our best friend and our deliverer, this our husband and our first fruit and our federal head, this man of sorrows, this Son of God, this only begotten Son of God, this man that we have been chosen to be in, to be like, and to be with. And this man, we don't even know him like we should. But we're gonna be with him. And whoa, wow, what a meeting that's gonna be. That's gonna be a wonderful day, don't you think? I tell you what, I said this, I'm a broken record on certain things, and I'm gonna broken wreck again. I wish he'd come right now. I do. I wish he'd come. What a way to end the sermon with the resurrection. Amen. I think Brother Dave preached a good one that day. He done brought the Lord down. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he did. I can't bring him. I pray for him. I pray for the Spirit. And I long to see him. And I long to be with him. And I believe, my friends, that because he's the first fruits of them that sleep, though the skin worms destroy this body, like Job said, though they lay me in the grave, though I may be gone and forgotten in this world, that my beloved friends, one day in my flesh, I will see God. Job never heard the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There wasn't a 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There wasn't even a Corinthians. There wasn't even a Corinth. But Job believed it. How did he believe it? God told him. God informed him. He had that hope within him. How much we who have the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, who have tasted of the New Testament and know the mysteries revealed, the things that the angels desire to look into, the things that we can sit here and hear somebody preach a sermon and amen it and feel good about it. And I know if it happens. I know, brother. I know what you're saying, Brother Randy. I get too much in the world. You see, I wish on Wednesday, on any given Wednesday, I wish that I could say, man, I sure hate this. I can't wait to go to church. I don't. I'm too involved in my job. I'm too involved in this project. I'm too involved in getting this deadline met. I'm too involved in this Zoom meeting I'm about to get on. I've got to meet with the judges. I got to meet with the directors. Oh, we've got a go live coming. I've got to moderate this data bridge. If you don't know what I'm talking about, praise God. If you know what I'm talking about, you feel my pain. You know what I'm going through. And I'm doing this. I'm setting up the GoToMeeting. Oh, I hate it. The Microsoft Teams. What devil in hell thought of that one up? Or WebEx. That's the Old Testament hell. Why would even Bonnie think about that? You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're blessed. Amen. I got to do it. I'm doing this on a Wednesday. I've got to do this. And then I got somebody bugging me. Did you send the attendance on the last go-to meeting? No, you better send it to me or else we don't believe you had a meeting. Oh! You know what I ought to do? You want to know what make Wednesday better? If I thought about church. I don't have to hit a button and go to meeting. I just need to go to a meeting. Because when I go to the meeting, I feel the Spirit of Almighty God. And I'm refreshed. And I get that drink of water that Brother Randy was talking about. I live in the desert all the time. This is the oasis. But it makes me think about something. Well, he's the first fruits of them that slept, of them that sleep. I may sleep. I may pass this life at any given time. I may not live to see tomorrow. I may not live to see another camp meeting. I don't know. I know this. There will never be another congregation like this. It's going to be different. It may be better. It may be worse. It may be the same. It's the same gospel. It's the same Spirit. It's the same doctrine, and it's the same love that we feel toward each other. And some things don't change. Brisket should never change. Caldwell County should never change. God does not change. Our love should change. It should get better and more fervent. And we should try harder. And we should think about him on Wednesday and on Thursday. Sometimes, Brother Randy, I'm so busy, I don't know that I'm thirsty. And then I wonder, why am I in a bad mood? Why is it I can walk in the room unless they say, what's wrong? Because I'm too much in the world. But now, is Christ risen from the dead? He is so risen from the dead, he does not need you to believe that he's risen from the dead. Okay? He did not wait to make sure all of us accepted him to be risen from the dead. He just did it. He didn't care. I mean, it's a bad way to say it. But he doesn't. He's not waiting for you to accept him. What kind of Savior is that? It's 3 days and three nights. Okay, we check off Jonah. We're good. I told him about it. I told him that. 3 days, three nights. I'm in the heart of the earth. Rise from the dead. What? Where's everybody? Where's everybody? Didn't I tell them four times that I'm going to die? He told them one time, they're going to crucify me. How much detail do you need? Didn't I tell them that on the third day I'm going to rise from the grave? Didn't I tell them? They asked for it. I gave it to them. Give us a sign. All right. I'll give you the biggest one out there. Bigger than a whale. Right? I don't know if it was. It was a fish. It was a whale. It was a whale of a fish. It was a whale of a belly. He went in. God prepared it. May have been the only thing like that that ever existed. I like to think it like that. You know, God prepared it. What if they found the remains of it? I don't know. It swallowed Jonah. I'll give you that sign. What more do you need? He rose from the dead. He's alive. He's in the tomb. He's alive. Where are they? It's the third day. Where are they? He didn't need them. He still does not need us, my friends. Oh, but we need him. Amen. And we needed him to rise from the grave. Because if he didn't, we are of all men most miserable. And his resurrection was sufficient to guarantee you that you will be resurrected like him. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, he came back, he talked to his disciples, he did some things, and it was completely different. He could appear and be somewhere else. They could have a locked room, and he's right there in the middle of them. He wept at the death of his friend. I don't read he ever wept again after that. There's no weeping in heaven. There's nothing to weep about. I see him not even need to get on a boat anymore. He just stayed there. Where's the fish? Where's the fish? Well, cast your net on the right side. They're right over there. They find them. And he's already got fish. He's got cooked fish waiting for him. Why did you tell us to do that, Lord? Because you need to do what I say. Because I told you I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so you do what I say. But I don't need you to fish men so I could get men. Look, I've already got them. I already got them. They're already cooked. You know, I don't need you. But you ought to be glad that I called you. You ought to be glad that I gave you a job to do. You ought to be glad that I let you come into my kingdom. You ought to be glad that I'm your redeemer. You ought to be glad that I rose from the dead. One of these days, you're going to be so glad that you're going to be able to praise Him as you ought. But you will see Him as He is. One of these days, my friends, one of these days, we're not going to need any help on the day of the resurrection. Just like Jesus did not need an angel to come with a jackhammer or with a pickaxe or with Goliath's superhuman strength. The grave couldn't keep Him, as it was preached to us. And He's not going to need, and we are not going to need angels to come down to open the graves for us. We're going to come out by the power of God. Those buried at sea, not going to need them. Those, you know, I went to a cemetery one time. I went to a cemetery, it's an old Baptist cemetery, and I saw a sign that said Jacob's leg. Somebody's leg is buried there. It was Jake. Jake's leg. Where's the rest of Jake? God knows. That must have been one special leg. I heard somebody's arm's buried somewhere. They don't know where the rest of him's buried. God knows. God knows every child that died in its mother's womb. God knows every child that was taken from its mother's womb. God knows everyone that died, and He will gather them together by His own power, and they will rise from the grave, and they will do something that I have had dreams about all my life. I'm going to fly, because I'm going to meet Him in the air. How am I going to get there? I hope it's not the elevator we got at the Copper Inn. I hope it's not. First of all, that thing was slow, and then it got broke. And do you think... And one of these primitive Baptist kids broke it. I'm sure they did. I walked out there this morning out of order. All right, so I'm going to be resurrected from the grave. There's Jesus up there. How am I going to get there? Well, it's out of order. It's so funny, isn't it? Because it's so ludicrous.
Right.
It's funny because it's ludicrous that Jesus would be bound by something beyond His control. Because the point is this, He has all control. And we are in His control, whether we know it or not. And so, it's going to amaze you the things you're going to do on the day of the resurrection. But the most amazing thing you're going to see on the day of the resurrection is when you see Christ as He is. And it's going to be so amazing, I think I'm not going to want to see anything else.
Right.
I mean, you know, we sing about the green fields. We sing. I mean, I like those songs, but I don't care if they're polka dot fields. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if there's trees there. I don't care. And some people say, "Oh, there's got to be dogs and cats there." Dogs, yes. Cats, no. I don't care if there's any dogs. I don't care. What are we going to eat up there? I don't know. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to need nothing, because all I need is going to be right there looking at me and my best friend and my Savior and my Redeemer and the first fruits. And because I'm standing looking at Him, that I was accepted in Him. And I need to praise Him better right now. And I need to praise Him better in life. And may God bless us all. Thank you very much. Kind attention. Okay.
That's it. That's it. Take care. That's it.
I work for the Texas Department of Agriculture. I thought it was bad, but I don't think it's that bad. But in my profession, being an agronomist, working with crops, I love the illustrations you can look to in the scriptures. And one of my favorite verses is in John chapter 12. It says, "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And as Brother David talked about that first fruit, that corn, he was speaking concerning himself. And he said, you know, a seed can sit here on this pulpit forever. But when it gets in the ground, it dies, it sprouts, and a plant comes forth, it brings forth much fruit. Had a rough year this year in agriculture. No, not much rain. But I tell you, that crop was well tended to. That crop is a bumper crop. As the first fruit is, so are the rest. That's, he represents it. He's accepted as Brother Davis. I'm going to quote, "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die," and we know it did, it's not pleasant to think about, but it's necessary to think about the sufferings of our Lord on the cross. Oh, but thanks be unto God. I don't know if Brother Jim's in here. He's a farmer down in South Texas. They plant that stuff, and they'll drive out there probably waiting just to see. When's it coming up? I tell you, that crop, that seed, sprang out of the ground 3 days and three nights later. If there be anyone here that has a desire to join the church, come forward as we sing a song. We'll sing number 558.